Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. This is a message that God began in my heart. He's really worked with me over the past, for sure, very heavy the past 6 months, but I'd really have to say over the course of a lifetime, I've seen this so much in my upbringing and in my ministry and our life and in our family. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to start at verse 1. And I have told the guys that they can put these verses up there if they want. But really, you know, Sunday night, this is a family night. And I feel like we all get around the big family table and it's more relaxed. Most of the crew comes on Sunday morning, and I don't know why they won't come on Sunday night, but we're going to celebrate who's here tonight. And so I hope that you have your Bible, because we're going to just go through this word for word. And I want you to leave this building knowing two things. Number one, God is your source for everything. I'm not even necessarily talking about money, but I'm not going to exclude it. God is your source for every single thing in your life. Everything that you feel like you're in need of, God is your source. The things that you don't even know that you are in need of, God is still your source. And number two, to have your most fulfilled, blessed life, you have to walk in obedience to what God has for you to do. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and we're talking about Abraham here. And Abraham and Sarah, they, in their old years, God finally gave them their promised son, Isaac. And he lay with his servant girl. And you know, there's times where we try to help God, and God doesn't really need our help. What he needs is our obedience. What he needs is for us to say, God, we're going to do this your way. Lord, I'm not going to try to help you out, but God, I'm going to get in that flow of what you have, and we're going to do it your way. When we try to do things our way, it doesn't work. We come to those forks in the road where it just doesn't work. And if you want the hand of favor and anointing on your life, you'll do it the Lord's way. And finally, Abraham and Sarah did that, and God blessed Sarah's womb, and she had this son, and he was the promised son. And it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And you know, there's times all throughout your life where you'll be tested. There's things where God's going to see how you're going to handle it. Now, God knows the beginning from the end, but sometimes you need to see how you're going to handle something also. Because there's things inside of you, and there's different levels, and there's higher levels for you, and sometimes you don't know what you've got up inside of you till you're put to the fire. And you see your weaknesses, but you also see your strengths in these moments. And Abraham says, here I am. And so I would encourage you tonight that, you know what? The Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And our ears need to be programmed to be very sensitive to when God speaks to us, because God will speak to you on a daily basis if you will allow Him and hear Him. He will speak to you. And there's times where when the Lord speaks to you, He's going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do. He'll ask you to do things that you don't understand. He'll ask you to do things that will make you uncomfortable, that you don't want to do. And I encourage you that whatever God tells you, whatever He speaks to you, that your reply is, here I am. Lord, here I am to serve you. God, here I am to worship you. Lord, here I am to walk in obedience to what you have for me to do. God, in every single way, here I am. God, I'm here. There's many times where the believer probably says, you know, God, where are you? I know I've had those moments where I've said, Lord, where are you in this situation? But I have those less and less because I've reached that point in life where I know that God is faithful. And to a great degree, I have stopped looking at the physical appearance of many situations, because I know nothing is what it looks like on the outside. And God is always working to work out for the good of those that love Him. And so it really doesn't matter how something appears. What it matters is what God says. And when we begin to look at God as our source, we stop looking at humankind, mankind, every single thing, and we start looking to God more and more and more, to a point where we've retrained ourselves to stop looking at everything else and to look at God. And to look at God. And so Abraham says, "Here I am." And then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah." He says, take your son and go to this area. That would be like God saying, take Isaac to Arkansas. And I'll tell you the rest of what you need to know when it's time. God speaks to people and he says, you know what, get in this area. Get in this area. For Abraham, the area was Moriah. And he says, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. He didn't even tell him a specific mountain. He said, it's going to be one of them. I'll tell you when you need to know. But for right now, I want you to take your son, your one and only son, the one that you love, the one that I promised you in your old age, take that baby that you love, get in the region of Moriah, and I will tell you where I want you to sacrifice him. Now, there's times where we know where we need to go in life, where we know where we want to be in life, and God has said, get in the area where you're going to be walking in obedience, and because we don't want to go to that area, there's a snag in our life. Many years ago, I wanted children, and I was having a lot of trouble having them. And I kept crying out to God, and I kept saying, Lord, I want these babies, and I don't understand why every single woman, it seemed like every woman I saw, she was pregnant and I wasn't. And I began to ask God about that, and God said, you know, Kelly, if you're asking me to trust you with children, so you get in the area where you're going to be in the children area, and you begin to sow seeds into that area. And I remember for many years on our church used to have a Valentine's Day banquet, and I wanted children so bad. And I for a few years there I said, okay, everybody go to the Valentine's Day banquet. I will watch your kids at the church, so you married people can have a good time on Valentine's Day. And I began to sow seed. I got into the area where I was asking God for a miracle, where I was asking God to move. See, some people, they want something from God, but see, they won't even get up in the area that it takes to have that blessing from the Lord. I know there's people, they say, you know, I believe God that I'm going to be this big thing in the ministry, and they can't even show up on Sundays or Wednesdays to be faithful to God's house. See, whatever you're asking the Lord for, you need to get up in that area where you're walking in obedience. And for Abraham, he says, go to Moriah. He doesn't even pinpoint where he's going to be sacrificing this child. He said, but take that baby that you love, go to Moriah, and there's going to be a mountain, and I'll show you, and I'll tell you later when it's time. And it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up, and he saddled his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. You know, sometimes you're not going to know exactly. There's some things that God's going to lead you to, and you're not going to have every single detail of what he's going to give. You're just not going to have all the details. I've learned to trust him with the details. Here's what I know. If God gave me every single detail ahead of time, I would find some way to mess that up. He put that wood, and he placed it on his son. And they set out. And he said to his servants, stay here with me while I and the boy go over there. And he says something very powerful in this next sentence. He says, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Abram was speaking by faith. God had told him, you're going to sacrifice your son. He was prepared He got all the stuff. And then he told his servants, you stay here. We'll be back. Here's what Abraham knew. If he sacrificed him, God had the ability to raise him back. That's how much trust that he had. And he said, we're going to go worship and we'll be back. Whatever God tells you to do, God will equip you to be able to do it. You don't have to have all those details. And it says here, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went on together. And you know, if there's something that I've learned about the Lord by being with him for 33 years, here's what I know. God is a very personal God. God is a very personal God, and he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly when you need it. He knew you was going to need it before you knew it was even a problem. God knew. He's a personal God, and it says here that Abraham said, God himself. God himself. See, if God has to stop heaven and earth to intervene for you, he will. If he has to move mountains for you, he will. If he has to go in and perform a miracle for you, he will. Many people on the face of the earth don't have what it takes to walk in this type of obedience that what Abraham had, because Abraham had full assurance that God was going to work it out. He didn't even know where he was going. You know, you don't have to know all the time every single thing. You don't got to know it. But what you got to do is the next thing that God tells you to do. See, God will speak to you and he'll tell you very specific things. Some people like to skip over what God said because it makes them uncomfortable, or they don't want to do it, or it don't just work with their schedule. Let me tell you something, there ain't no skipping over what God said. Because God will let you stay up in there in that place. To obey is better than sacrifice. Every time. In between, and what happens is in between that time where we didn't obey, years are lost. Sometimes health is lost. Sometimes blessings are lost. There's many things lost in the valley of disobedience. And so it says here, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to read that verse again. When they had reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. See, finally, God had told Abraham, this is where you're going to sacrifice your son. And Abraham built an altar in that very place. You have to be willing to build an altar right in the exact place that God tells you. Right in that place. For many, many years, like I have shared with y'all over the past couple weeks, you know, I knew from the time I was 7 years old that one day I would pastor. And God put that inside of me. But I had an idea of how that was going to work and when it would work and when I would do that. And let me just explain something to you. God don't care about your ideas. And He don't care about what's on your time frame and what's on your agenda. And I had told God all my life, Lord, when it's time, I'll do that. When it came time, I didn't feel ready. I certainly didn't feel good enough, and I didn't feel qualified enough. And because of that, I had a season where I was angry with the Lord because I had to grieve over the idea of what I thought that specific season of life was going to look like. And there's times where you had such an idea of what you thought was going to be in your life, and when it don't work out that way, it's upsetting to you. And one of the hardest things that you'll ever grieve is the idea of what you thought your life was going to be. There's times where you wake up in your life and you don't even recognize your own life. You say, I never thought my life was going to be like this. That happens to everybody. Not only did I not understand why God chose that specific timing, but parallel to all of my issues, there was something called the pandemic. Hallelujah. That nobody knew what to do with, okay? And there was people that had been in ministry their whole life, and they were quitting because they couldn't deal with it. Hallelujah. And I thought, God, have you made a mistake? Because this is not what I thought. But I had always told God, under the circumstances, that I would be a pastor for Him. And none of those things happen. But what actually happened is God took me on the most amazing journey. Of a lifetime. And what I can say is that God was with me when nothing and nobody else was. But I had to get in that place in my life where I said, Lord, if this is really what you want, I'm going to make an altar right here, and I'm just going to commit to you, and I'm going to make a covenant with you that I'm going to do this despite what I thought and despite how I thought it was going to be. And here's what I can tell you. 6 years in that journey, it's better than what I ever thought. On my worst of the worst days in the ministry, I'm still one of the most blessed people that I know. Not because I'm perfect, but it's because I got that one area of my life correct where I said, Lord, here I am. God, this is what you have. There was a lot of things that I told God. I told Him I wouldn't go outside and preach. I wasn't an outside person. Boy, He stuck me outside the first chance He got. About just a few months in there, nobody was having outside service. And He began to work some things out of me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Do what God tells you to do. And don't put stipulations on God. And here's where I made some mistakes in my early years of ministry. And I don't care to share them with you because you know what? My failures have turned into my successes. And that's just the truth of it. One of the things that I had said is, you know, God, I'll pastor after Dad passes away. And this is how I want things to be. And I want Casey to be the praise and worship leader, and I want this. And see, I had everything that I wanted, because, see, I had it all figured out. Let me just explain something to you. When you think you got everything figured out, you ain't got nothing figured out. Because God will take everything that you sought, and He will wipe it out, and He'll show you His plan, and His ways are always higher than your ways, and His thoughts, they're going to always be higher than your thoughts. And what this season of life taught me is to just be honest with you. What it taught me was to just not make my plans. I've learned to say, God, what do you want? Because whatever it is you want, if you'll show it to me, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. There has been one service in 6 years. And this was probably in the very first few weeks of me pastoring. And I will never forget this day as long as I live, because God showed me something in that moment. It was actually two moments. Out of all the people that can sing in this church, and out of all the talent, we got to a Sunday morning, and there was not one person that I could count on to get on that stage and to lead praise and worship. And in that moment, God worked on my heart, and He said, you see that empty stage, Kelly? If I have to make the rocks cry out and worship me, that's what I'll do. Stop thinking that you need this one and that you need that one and that you need this and that you need that. Because truthfully, to be honest with you, all I really need to be the most successful pastor and all you really need to be the most successful believer is the Lord. Because God will put everything that you need right where it should be. God is my witness. Probably the most moving praise and worship we have ever had that Sunday. How do you explain that? Made people understand that all they needed was God. See, we get up in church, we think, I don't like that song that they sang. I can't get into that. Them are older songs. Oh, them songs. The temperature's not right. This isn't. No, I don't like this. The color of the carpet's awful. I don't like that she painted these walls gray. What are those pictures? And then we start dissecting everything. Look here. When you can wipe away everything, what you need is the Lord in your life. And you need obedience as something that's just nature to you. That following Sunday, this is many years ago. Sophie, come up here, baby. Because the truth is, I can't even tell this story. But when she was 7 years old, how old are you now? 13. She's as tall as me. When she was 7 years old, the first 6 weeks I pastored, this baby got on the stage by herself with a cute little bow in her hair and little ruffles on her dress. She led the entire church in praise and worship. And God began to minister to me, Kelly, I have everything that you need. Stop telling me what you need, because, Kelly, I know what you need. I know it deeper. I know it more. I know it through and through. Can sit down. Abraham didn't sit here and tell God, well, that's my only son. He didn't sit there and say, can I give the other half child up? I mean, you know. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, you want my son? I'm going to give him to you. He did not put Isaac in that place between him and God. And because of that, God made a way for Isaac. See, just as Kimber sang that song, Idols, tonight, whatever you put above what God wants you to do, that's an idol for you. Whatever you put that's more important than doing what God said for you to do, that's an idol for you. That's how you identify idols. See, God wants the ability to come into your life and say, I want it all. And for you to say, you can have it. You can have it all. So here we are. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. See, in the worst moments of your life, are you still here I am? When nothing's going right, is it here I am? God, I'm still here. See, a lot of people don't even have the faithfulness to just keep in there and keep with God when it gets rough. The moment that something gets rough for a lot of people, they leave God. That's just the truth. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horn, and he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And let me tell you something about the Lord that I've known about God my whole life. God is never late. He is always right on time. There's moments where it may get down to the very last split second. But what I can promise you is he is not late. Whatever you're believing God for in your life, whatever you're asking him for, whatever you're seeking him for, understand that what it takes for you to get to that answered prayer or that miracle, that takes faith. God isn't late. He's not a late God. He's right on time. Your obedience is going to play a huge role in the whole situation. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. See, do you hold anything back from the Lord? Is there anything that you won't let God have? Because see, whatever you wouldn't let God have, that is your idol. And that is your God. Because you haven't withheld your one and only son, verse 17, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And you know, sometimes, here's what I can tell you. Your obedience is going to affect your family for many generations. That's what I can tell you. That's what I can tell you. There are things, very specific things in this ministry that my dad obeyed God on. And I, as lead pastor here, am still reaping benefits off of his obedience. His obedience. There's an amount of favor and anointing on this ministry, not because of anything that I did right, but because of what he did right. What we do and the amount of obedience that we have, it affects more things than we could ever imagine. God is our source. And obedience is that highway to the miracle, to the blessing, to the answered prayer. It's obedience. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verses 18 through 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Let me tell you something. God can make a way when there is no way, when there's nothing. If He has to do that through a desert in your life, that's exactly what He'll do. God is your source, and He is your sole source. The other day, I took Colton and I am in that phase of parenting where I'm trying to instill things inside of my boys that they will carry with them when I'm not here. Because I do believe that we're handing this ministry off to the next generation day by day. Day by day. And I said, Coco, I want to take you today and do something with you that my dad used to do with me. I said, so today we're going to do church business. So we went in the bank. We did all of our banking business for the church. And then, I know as silly as this sounds, kids don't know things unless you explain it to them and teach them. And I don't care what it is. And you are responsible for teaching them. And I said, now, Coco, this is called a post office. He said, I always wondered what that building was. He thought it was a castle. I said, no, this is a post office. We went in the parish post office. And I said, I explained to him what the boxes were. I said, now, when I was little, most Mondays, before I got in school, Dad would take me on these Monday things. And Dad and I, I was little, we spent a lot of time together because there was a five-year difference between Casey and I. And we went to people's houses. We did all sorts of ministry work. And so I took Coco in there, and I showed him our P.O. box. I even let him open the door, let him get the envelopes out. And I said, okay, now shut the door. And I explained to him all about why people have P.O. boxes, why the church has one, all this stuff. Get in the car with him. We began to go through the mail. And God had sent some provision through the mail. Now, the couple days leading before Monday was this right here. Our food place. Our supplier called and they said, we want to give you several pallets of food, but it's really children-based food. I thought, well, if you're giving it to me, I'll take it. But I don't want to pay for it. We spend a lot of money on food, and I don't want to pay for one more thing right now. And they gave us that. A few days later, called back, wanted to give us some more. And I have all this food for kids. And I was on my way to church last Sunday morning. And I know when God's speaking to me because it's like a ton of bricks and it just comes to me right there in that moment and I know it's the Lord. And I was on my way to church and God began to show me the event that we're going to do Friday. God said, Kelly, I know you've been wondering why I've been sending all this children's food to you. But I want you to do this in the community. So, okay, God, we'll do it. There was other things need to be bought, need to be done. No, I'm never going to do something halfway. If this church is going to do something, we're going to do it in the spirit of excellence, or we won't do it. But those kids, those babies in this community, they're going to have a nice bag of groceries. They're going to get an eye exam. They're going to have the best of what we can give them. And that's the way that God wants it. God always gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him. And if you'll leave all the choices in your life to God, you'll always have the best. He'll make sure of it. I showed Coco that envelope, and I explained to him this concept, and I said, Coco, I used to do this with my dad. I said, here's what I can tell you. My whole life, God has provided my whole life. And if you will give God all of your choices and all of your obedience, God will bless you. And not only will He bless you, but He will bless everything that you put your hands to. A lot of people want to do a lot of good things in life, but they don't have what it takes to do it. What does it take? Obedience. Obedience. I'm looking at people that have a lot of purpose in their life, and you're thinking, how do I get there? Obedience. God will tell you. It's not rocket science. God will tell you. He'll tell you what steps to take. He'll tell you the things to do. Go with me to Psalms 107, verse 20. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know Glenda Bates? Anybody know Glenda? God has used Glenda Bates in my life so many times. She's a lady in this community. And she will set you straight if you need it. But what God has used her for in my life over and over is Glenda will just call me out of the blue. And it's probably been a couple years since I've talked to Glenda. And the other day, she called me. And here's what she said. And I wrote it down because it was so funny. Because I could tell that the Lord was dealing with me about this. She was blabbering on about the food ministry and all this stuff. And she said, Kelly, when you guys first started the food ministry, there were times it was a little chaotic. And she said, here's what she said. But there's no doubt God has blessed the ministry so much. And she said, God has put it all in order. See, I don't know where you're at tonight. If there's some things and you're just like, oh, you know, what about this? And what am I going to do? And all the, you know, and we have all these things. Here's what I can tell you. God will put it all in order. I don't know what you're believing God for. I don't know what you need in your life. See, I know that there's things that you need in your life that only God can give you. And what I can tell you is this right here. God has already put those things in order. He's put them in order. And here's what she said, and it was so true. She said, the devil starts working on you. She says, and before long, if you let him, the devil will work on your mind. And he'll work on your health. And she says, you know, the devil wants to do a whole work on you. She says, let God put everything in order. Said, Pastor Kelly, I don't know what you're believing Him for, but if you'll let Him put it in order, I'm going to tell you something. The order that I know is obedience. Because undoubtedly, God is your source. If it's a healing that you need, He's the source. If it's finances that you need, He's the source. If it's wisdom, because you don't have the answers for some of the things that you're going through, He is the source. If there's mountains in your way, He is the source. If there's something that you say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but what I know, God, is if you don't intervene, it's not going to. See, we spend a lot of time worrying about things that most of the time don't ever happen. But the devil will keep you worrying. And the things that he gets you worrying about, somebody hear me, you cannot even control the things that the devil will have you to worry about. They're out of your control. I encourage you today to recognize that and to flow in obedience. Psalms 107, verse 20. And he sent forth his word, and he healed them, and he rescued them from the grave. There's so many people in need of healing. He sent forth his word and healed them. There is healing that flows out of the word of God. It flows out of the word of God. Dodie Osteen, how many of you know who she is? It's Joel Osteen's mama. Over 25 years ago, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. The doctors told her she had to die. Not only did she have to die, but she was going to die soon. She is still living today. How? She got with the Lord, and she did what God told her to do. Here's what he told her to do. Get in the Word. And you look for every verse that speaks about healing, and you begin to put that into your life where it's second nature. You don't even question it. You begin to speak the word over your life, because let me tell you something, there's healing in the word. Sometimes we don't know which way to go in our life. And what I can tell you is the word of God is true when it says don't lean on your own understanding. There's things about your life that you don't even understand, but God knows them. And he knows them better than you. The word says, Lord, your lamp, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Get into his word. Get into his word. I remember my mother. She had a very bad fall a few years ago. It did a lot of damage on her body. And one of the most damaging, traumatizing things is that Dad and I and all the girls, we had to play nurse to her. We're not good nurses. And she was in a lot of pain. And she broke both of her wrists and had to have surgery and had to have all this stuff done. And she would sit by her bedroom. And to this day, when I go over there, all over her walls, all over the hall, is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. And she would say, Kelly, will you come over while I do my exercises? And I hated every minute of it. Because she would sit there in that chair and she would cry. Because she was in so much pain and there was nothing that could be done for her. And she would do those exercises to strengthen all of the parts that broke her body. And while she was doing the exercises, Sherry, she would read off the Word of God. When you sat on the pot in their house, index cards, Bible verses. Get into your Word, flow in obedience, get into the area of blessing for your life. You have one life. Let God do everything he wants to do in it. Don't limit him by disobedience. Don't limit him by not giving up how you thought that it was going to be. God has a better way. Last place for me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God knows everything about your life. He knows what you need. He knows every single thing about it. God is your source. God is your source. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Just look up. God has it. When you feel insecure about what you're going through, when you don't know if it's going to work out, when you don't know how things are going to end up, put that in the hands of God and say, Lord, it doesn't matter how it ends up. God, it doesn't matter what goes on, because ultimately, God, I know that you're working this out. Lord, you're perfecting the things that concern me. So, Lord, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm going to trust you. Y'all stand to your feet this evening. We're going to have a blessed week. God's got divine appointments.